This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got tons of news, breaking news, developing news to get here for you in this live three-hour transmission at Infowars.com/show. But first, President Trump gave an epic speech yesterday addressing the GOP. Let's go to President Trump from yesterday.
And we're putting the interests of our country and our people and our taxpayers, we're putting them first. This election is not merely about which party is in charge in Congress. It's about whether the American people will be in charge of their government. The choice cannot be any clearer. It's never been this clear. It's never, think of it. It's never been this clear. The Democrats used to be somewhat in the middle, and now they're so far right. Meaning that's where they're going to be. But the Democrats used to be right here. And now what happened is they just moved. They just moved. They're going so far to the left-hand side of the equation, I don't know whether or not it's going to even be possible for them to do well. But for some reason, they'll probably do okay. We can't let that happen. They have gone so far left. We have to go a little bit further right. We're doing very, very well. And I think you're going to have something very, very special take place in a short period of time.
Yeah, they don't realize the farther left they go,
well, congressional Democrats,
the farther right we have to go just to balance things out.
And they resist. Republicans actually deliver. There's never been a group that have delivered like we've delivered, especially in the first year of an administration. We're creating jobs for everybody, for the African-American population. They're thanking me. They're thanking me. Hispanic Americans, all Americans. But they're really thanking us. While Democrats denigrate our history, Republicans believe young Americans should be taught to have pride in America's achievements and to treasure our truly incredible heritage. While Democrats hand over our rights to international organizations, we defend our sovereignty and we defend our Constitution and we defend our American flag. We're the ones defending it.
It's amazing that that's what it's come to. It's like he said earlier.
Sit on their hands,
the choice has never been more clear.
With law enforcement, these are great people. We stand with working families and we always proudly stand for our national anthem. We believe in strong borders and safe communities, and we believe in the truth of our national motto, In God We Trust. Our victories are Americans' victories. Because the Republican Party is now the party of the American worker, the American family, and the American dream.
And God. And just America
in
general.
Our mission is to serve the needs, the desires, and the highest ambitions of the American people. And that's what we're doing. And we're
all right,
really
so that's President Trump from yesterday. Again, another epic speech. The guy just pops up. It seems like every day now and gives an epic speech somewhere or says something epic. Some more tweets today that we're going to be covering, responding to the fake news on Putin, talking about McCabe and that firing. But, you know, he says something there that's so key. He says the choice has never been clear. Well, the choice was already that clear for the 2016 presidential election. The choice between Trump and Clinton was already clear. That's why they used fake news to muddy the waters with Billy Bush tapes, fake Russian collusion stories, this, that, and the other thing. So the choice is so clear. That's why the Democrats have to muddy the water to confuse you into thinking maybe it's not so clear. up and down we go here on the roller coaster that is the year 2018. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. It's Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. No Roger Stone today as he is trying to flee the latest nor'easter that is hitting the Northeast. Big snowstorm. We'll cover some of that. Obviously, that's man-made global warming. Just ask Al Gore. But we'll have all that. We've got big video clips, big breaking news. And there's so much huge news that's just kind of sitting out there that we probably won't even get to. The indictments coming against Hillary and the Democrats. The Owen brother case that's still open. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, all the corruption there. So the Russian collusion with Hillary Clinton, the fake dossier. So all of that is just kind of sitting out there. But then you've got new waves of breaking news coming. So you've got the Austin bomber, the suspect, believed to be the Austin bomber, blows himself up. They believe that he was the guy. We'll get into that news. You've got, though, I don't know if it's the biggest news. It is the biggest news, and it's not the biggest news. It is the biggest news that YouTube has announced it's going to be banning firearm demo videos. And it's really going to end up being just any video that has a firearm or talks about firearms or anything like that. So that's how that's going to go. So YouTube is now banning firearms demo videos. And you can just put firearms videos on there. They would have probably banned that segment I did where I had the pistol in here and I was kind of making a joke. That'd probably get banned. And so if you're a gun owner, a gun video blogger, a firearms blogger, whatever that has, you're now banned from YouTube. Now, this isn't the biggest story because we've already known that this was coming. It's not new news to say that YouTube is banning gun owners. They already did the purge. They've already been censoring conservatives. They already throttle back our numbers. They already censor us, stop us from going live, what have you. But it is the biggest news story because it's not about YouTube banning firearms videos from its platform. It's about YouTube censoring free speech. It's about the First Amendment being under attack. It's about how the leftist-run media platforms of Facebook and Twitter and Google and YouTube, all being run by leftists, are now censoring their platforms, manipulating their platforms, so that only the message that fits their political agenda gets out. So the real story here is another level of YouTube censoring free speech. That's really what this comes down to. And we've got the new policy notification that they've put out. They even made it so it was a trendy thing. They put it in their What's New section. When you go onto Twitter and there's a little section that says What's New, Firearms Policy Update, or excuse me, YouTube, not Twitter, excuse me. When you go in to look at your YouTube analytics, it has a What's New section, Firearms Policy Update, effective mid-April. We're updating our policies on videos featuring firearms. And then you go in and you look at it and, you know, you can't talk about it. You can't try to sell them. You can't teach people how to do it. Again, you know, it's all about censoring gun owners. It's all about censoring conservatives. It's all about not putting this message out there. Because here's the thing. And then, of course, it's now a separate tab entirely under YouTube policies on content featuring firearms. So that's going to be the latest thing that they use to censor free speech on YouTube. But think about it. Why is YouTube wanting to ban these types of videos? Why is YouTube censoring the War Room channel on YouTube? Why is Twitter censoring the Alex Jones channel on YouTube? Why does YouTube strike us for things that we never said and then try to shut us down with CNN running point for the whole thing? Why? See, they understand the psychological makeup of America right now in that most people that are politically informed and politically aware are pretty much either so hardened in their current political ideology, or they've moved so far from the center that there really isn't anything that can change their opinion. There really isn't anything that can change their mind. They're pretty much a statue for that political ideology. But about a third of the population is still malleable. A third of the population is still not really politically informed, doesn't care, still in the center, still neutral. So they look at this as these are their psychological warfare propaganda platforms: Google, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. And so if they think 33% of their users are still free agents, essentially, to make a sports analogy, and that they can still bring them onto their side, what would they do to initiate that to happen? Well, that's simple. They would pretend that there is no other side. They would erase anything that shows any semblance of an opposition. So yeah, erase the gun owners, erase the Christians, erase the conservatives. So they're not even there. So now if you're neutral and you go into these platforms run by liberals where they've erased any political opposition to their agenda, and now you go to that platform as a neutral observer, you only see one side of the aisle. So now you don't even have a battle of intellect. You don't even have a battle of ideology. You're essentially force-fed what they want you to see. So you're not even seeing the opposition. You're not even seeing anything else. You're not even getting any other ideologies. And that's their goal here. It's just like the mainstream media's coverage of the Florida shooting versus the coverage of the Maryland shooting from yesterday. Or I'm sorry, that's right. They didn't cover the Maryland shooting. There was no coverage. There was no CNN crew at the scene. There was no Fox News crew at the scene. There was nobody there covering it all day, every day, for a month, like we had the Florida shooting. Why? Because the shooter didn't use an AR, and because the shooter was stopped by a man with a gun. So it doesn't fit their political agenda. So now you get this whole wave, this whole rush of media, this whole rush of propaganda from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, all of the globalist-run media networks, and they tell you the same thing. The AR is the problem. The AR is to blame. Guns are to blame. Gun control is the only answer. Dead kids, dead kids, dead kids. Listen to the kids, listen to the kids, listen to the kids. Take the guns, take the guns, take the guns. All you hear for a month because of this tragic school shooting. And so that's all that they do is they present that to you. Horrible shooting, gun is to blame, stop the guns. And that's all you get. One view, one opinion, all propaganda. And so then you go and you look at the Maryland shooting. Guy goes into the school, probably planning a mass shooting, would have been perhaps multiple deaths, except for there was a good guy with a gun on the scene that did his job and stopped the mass shooting from happening. Now, why wouldn't CNN cover that? Why wouldn't MSNBC cover that? Because it doesn't fit their political agenda. And now the same thing is happening on YouTube. Why does YouTube ban Christians? Why does YouTube ban conservatives? Why does YouTube ban firearms? Because they don't want the neutral citizens of the republic to see the other side. Because they know deep down, they cannot win in a battle of intellect. They cannot win in a battle of ideas. And all the policies that they've implemented in this country have failed and led to total poverty and total destruction. So they have to erase the successful team, erase the successful side, so that there's only one side to choose from. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're covering the breaking news that YouTube has just announced that they're going to ban firearms videos starting next month. Now, I'm going to give a sports analogy to this. Now, I always do sports analogies because I came from sports media, and I think that just the general population can understand a sports analogy. Imagine a young baseball player coming out of Cuba wants to play in the major leagues. And he's free agent. He can go to whatever team he wants. And so he's talking to the commissioner of the league, and he's saying, okay, or his agent is saying this or that. And he's saying, this is how much money I want. And so it turns out there's only two teams that are willing to pay that money, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers, who haven't won a World Series since who knows, and then the New York Yankees, who win the most World Series. But the commissioner has a bias against the Yankees. He doesn't like the Yankees, and in fact, he's even from Milwaukee and wants to see the Brewers do well for one time. So he goes back to the player and the agent, and he says, yep, okay, it looks like the Brewers are going to match your offer. So it looks like you're going to play for the Brewers. And the agent says, well, was there anyone else that was willing to match the offer? Was there any other place that was offering the same amount of money? No, there was no other competition. It was just the Brewers. Oh, okay. All right, then. We'll play for the Brewers then. And he goes and plays for the Brewers. And then he comes and finds out years later, after the Yankees win every year and beat the Brewers' butts, that the Yankees also offered that same deal and are now winning, and he could have played for that team, but for some reason he never found out. And then he finds out that the commissioner wouldn't allow him access to that team, wouldn't give him access to that information. And so he gets screwed, and he didn't get to choose the best option. That's what YouTube is doing. They don't want you to play for the Yankees. They don't want you to be on the winning team. They don't want you to see the full picture. They want to keep you misinformed, uninformed, dumbed down, and then give you one option. Because that's what communism is all about. It's all about one option given to you by the establishment. No competition, no innovation, no choice. One option, what we say, rips you off. And so that's what you get. So now the neutral people that are just going onto YouTube, aren't politically involved, don't politically care, they just get onto YouTube, and who knows, maybe that individual one day stumbles upon an Alex Jones video. Maybe one day that individual stumbles upon a firearms video teaching about firearm safety and how to properly use it. And then all of a sudden, they're maybe interested in firearms and teaching their kids how to use firearms or learning how to use a firearm themselves. Or maybe they hear Jones say something interesting and they're like, you know, that's interesting what he said about atrazine and chemicals in the water. Maybe I should do a little more research on that. And then they go down the rabbit hole, and now you've red-pilled somebody. That's what they're trying to stop. That's our victory. That's how we're victorious, and that's why they're trying to stop it. That's why they're censoring us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Google, on Twitter, everywhere. I'm live at the scene from last night's explosion in Austin, Texas. And folks, it used to be when I used to go out at these Trump rallies, okay, I could flip on a live video and there'd be 5,000 people immediately. Like that. And that was when we were following Trump rallies. Now I can tell you from working in media that that was already a hot event. Anytime we go live at a Trump rally, there's always going to be people ready wanting to watch it. So you already knew that was there. But I'm telling you, we go live, 5,000 people, usually peak at around 15, 20 on the best day. Now, I go live from the event of an explosion. And when these events happen and you get exclusive live coverage on the internet, these numbers are always the biggest. These numbers are usually the biggest. Anytime there's an emergency like this, when you go live, you normally get the biggest hits. I go live last night. I hit 1,500 on the Alex Jones Facebook channel in 5 seconds. I'm at 1,500. And then for the next 45 minutes of my broadcast, it doesn't go up. Now, does anyone in the crew believe that we only had 1,500 viewers last night on the Alex Jones Facebook channel watching the live explosion coverage? Does anybody actually believe that? I want you to be honest. Do you think I'm crazy, or do you think Facebook is throttling our numbers? The crew looks a little neutral back there. Maybe they think I'm crazy. All I'm telling you is that that doesn't make sense. How do you go from 0 to 1.5 in less than a minute, and then you stay on 1.5 for the remainder of a 40-minute broadcast? How do you go from used to be going live and getting 5,000 people in a heartbeat to not even be able to barely crack 2,000? But that's a separate issue. Now, I want to go back to this video, and I've been playing this a lot because this is what they're doing. Now, we try to tell these people that they're being brainwashed. We try to explain to these people, you've been brainwashed. They're brainwashing you. They don't understand it. So don't take it from me. Again, let's go back to Eric Holder telling you they have to brainwash you into thinking about guns differently.
I will also ask the school board to make a part of every day
the
some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
Anti-gun message.
Every school at every level.
Every day, every school, every level.
Young people and with adults as well, is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough
to be repetitive.
Have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
And there you go. Now, need I say more? There you had it from Eric Holder. We're going to use the school board. We're going to indoctrinate the youth. We're going to do it every day. And we're going to brainwash them into thinking about guns differently. Now, if you don't think that Eric Holder saying that, and then YouTube, here we are, years later, banning firearms videos from their platform, if you don't think that's connected, you don't get it. It's all the same thing. They are brainwashing you. They're brainwashing you into hating what's giving you everything, giving you all your freedom, all your prosperity, everything that you could ever hope for in this country. They want to destroy that. They want to say they can give you everything. Don't have a firearm. Let us have all the firearms. You know who said that? Hitler. And then you want to go out in the street and say that we're Hitler while you're the ones that are getting brainwashed like the Nazis? You're the ones that are socialists? And that's the Twilight Zone right there. If that's not the Twilight Zone, I don't know what is the Twilight Zone. So there's Eric Holder, again, saying we're going to use the school boards, we're going to do it every day in every school across this nation, and we're going to brainwash people into thinking differently about guns. Then what happens? School shooting in Florida, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, all of them, CBS, gun is the problem, guns to blame. And then they have the children come out. Listen to me. I'm an innocent child. I was victimized by a shooting. And then that's the biggest story. Blame the gun. Then there's a shooting in Maryland stopped by a good guy with a gun. How many witnesses did they interview on CNN? How many children from the school in Maryland got interviewed by CNN? How many children from the school in Maryland are basically now mainstream media figures, millions of followers on Twitter? How many? Zero. You know why? Because they cannot use that story to brainwash you into thinking differently about guns. It's all a political agenda to destroy this country and to take your freedoms, folks. If you can't have a firearm, you're a slave in America.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So, YouTube continues to step up their censorship. So, you know, conservatives, Trump supporters, Christians, and gun advocates, gun enthusiasts, you're not allowed on YouTube anymore. They're going to shut you down. They're going to close the Overton window to the political right so that people are neutral, only think there's one option, because that's what communists are all about, only giving you one option, and it's the filthiest, worst option ever. That's why communism always fails. Now, I've got a breaking news story to cover. I've got Zuckerberg comments to cover. But before I do that, folks, again, we here at InfoWars are already dealing with this censorship. I haven't been able to go live on the War Room channel on YouTube for over a month, about a month and a half now. That hurts our subscriber numbers. Now, is that a big deal? Is it not a big deal? I don't know. The audience, unfortunately, though, cannot find the central location at warroom.show, the War Room YouTube channel, and then they get confused and like, oh, I guess the War Room's over with because we don't go live anymore. Well, so we have to go live on one of our alternative channels. But this is the censorship, the Alex Jones channel. Nope, can't go live. Sorry, Alex. Nope, can't do it, Alex Jones channel. Nope, Alex. So then the Alex Jones channel isn't allowed to go live. So yeah, so this is our alternative channel that we're using to go live on right now, Info Planet Wars. But this is what we deal with, folks. But here's the beauty of it. It's like the craziest thing. The more they censor us, the stronger we get. The more they attack us with fake news, the more you go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. So we've got specials going at InfoWarsStore.com. 25% off Super Male Vitality, the ultimate game changer, Super Male Vitality, combining ancient wisdom and modern science to create this powerful formula. Super Male Vitality, great reviews, almost 5,000 reviews, 4.6 star average rating, 25% off Super Male Vitality right now. In fact, this is actually timely for me. I just ran out of Super Male Vitality, so now I can go get a bottle for 25% off. How about that? So we also use the products that we sell you at InfoWarsStore.com. 4,000 reviews, 4.6 star review, 25% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Super Male Vitality. Don't forget about the new Silver Spray. Now that we're marketing the new Silver Spray, 33% off Super Silver Iodine Infusion Spray, I'm having other people talk to me about this, saying that this is an amazing concept because not only with the silver, with the silver that we had in a tincture with the bottle and the dropper, it's easy to swallow that, but it's harder to use that topically and so for some other things. I'm having people telling me that they use the colloidal silver spray for things like eczema and other skin problems that they have. So this is just really an incredible innovation that we're bringing you at InfoWarsStore.com with the Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle Spray with the nascent iodine in there. And right now it's 33% off. I mean, $10 for that powerful product, folks. This is a no-brainer. Try the new Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle from InfoWarsStore.com. And that's how you support us and that's how we grow. Now, where to begin? Let's go with Zuckerberg. Now, this is a Zuckerberg quote that almost had me fall out of my chair in the break. So on Monday, let's just go through a turn of events here. Monday, in the latest wave of fake news to try to delegitimize President Trump's election, Monday during the day, the big story was Cambridge Analytica uses Facebook data to steal the election for Trump. Actually, you know what? Hold on. I'm going ahead of myself. No. Let's hold on. During the day, that wasn't the narrative. The day was just the narrative that Cambridge Analytica was essentially getting this huge swath of data. Facebook was involved, and Facebook was the bad guy for sharing this data with the bad guy, Cambridge Analytica. So that was the rollout of this. So Facebook gets thrown under the bus. And then Cambridge Analytica is the bad guy. And then they have an undercover video to kind of boost that narrative, if you will, of Cambridge Analytica being the bad guy. It doesn't matter that Barack Obama did the exact same thing in 2012. It doesn't matter that Maxine Waters and the Democrat Party bragged about how Obama did it. It doesn't matter that the Facebook execs come out and say we were basically Obama's campaign team. It doesn't matter that the Democrats pretty much run Facebook. Cambridge Analytica, bad guy, used the Facebook data. So now Facebook is the bad guy. So we'll get back to that. Then Monday evening, just like I predicted, they twisted it and they then said, and this is where the delegitimizing of Trump's presidency comes in. Oh, Cambridge Analytica used the Facebook data to steal the election. So that was the next turn. So first it was paint Cambridge Analytica as the bad guy, release the undercover video, tie them in with the Facebook data, spin that narrative, get some gravity going with that. Then once that has the attention, boom, hit them with the narrative they stole it for Trump. And then bring out some pink-haired guy to tell you it's all true. So then the narrative is, by Tuesday morning, Cambridge Analytica stole data from Facebook or whatever. Facebook knowingly gave them data, and then they used that data to steal the election for Trump. unprecedented, never been done before, unbelievable. Even though 4 years prior, Barack Obama did the exact same thing. Facebook announced how they were doing it, bragged about it. Maxine Waters bragged about it. And that's how they won the election. So they used the same method to win the election. Then Trump uses it. And then he's the bad guy and he stole it. Okay, so then what? And so then Tuesday, Facebook's under fire. Now the narrative takes a full turn. And now Facebook stole the election for Donald Trump. And Facebook is the bad guy. And now everybody on Tuesday is saying Facebook is the bad guy. So then what happens? Facebook shares drop and Zuckerberg goes into hiding like the cuck that he is. Again, like we predicted here on the War Room. So now here we are today.
Zuckerberg, you need to make a comment. Mark, where are you, Mark? You're silent. You need to make a comment, Mark. Why are you hiding? Facebook's under fire, Mark. You need to save face here. Don't worry. We're not trying to take down Facebook. We just, we're using this to take down Trump. So just come out here, save face, make a statement.
Well, this is what happens. And Mark Zuckerberg now understand what it's like to be under attack from the radical, relentless left. And so now he's kind of probably in shock, like, whoa, like, oh my gosh. Like, these people are disgusting. They're nasty. They're relentless. What is going on here? So he kind of goes into hiding. So then today he peeps his head out and decides to make a comment. And then he serves up a doozy of a comment. You couldn't even covfefe this thing into a Tesla Roadster in space. Zuckerberg says, "We have a responsibility to protect your data. And if we can't, then we don't deserve to serve you." Ladies and gentlemen. Mark Zuckerberg just admitted he doesn't deserve to serve you. Facebook just admitted they don't deserve to serve you. It's a well-known secret. I shouldn't even say it's a secret. It's a well-known business technique that Facebook sells your data. I mean, so here's Zuckerberg gets caught selling data, essentially, or who knows what the story is. It doesn't even matter. Facebook sells your data. So Facebook sells your data. The mainstream news then takes that fact, says Facebook stole the election for Trump. They're using your data to rig elections. And so then Facebook steps back like, whoa, we can't have our business practices be out like this. And so Zuckerberg goes into hiding. His Facebook shares tank. They say, Mark, you got to make a statement. You got to save face. So then Zuckerberg comes out and says, we have a responsibility to protect your data, and if we can't, then we don't deserve to serve you. This is the same man that is selling your data hand over fist to make millions of dollars. And then he tells you he doesn't deserve to serve you if he sells your data while he's selling it out the back door. What is next for Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg? I have a weird feeling this is going to take a twist that nobody sees. This morning, the suspect in the Austin bombings, the name is being released as Mark Anthony Condit, was being moved in on by SWAT when he detonated an explosive device in his vehicle, which then killed him. So we're going to do a quick update on this, and I'm going to hit these headlines. But first, let's go to some of these news clips. Let's first go to clip 7, guys. This is Chief Manley breaking down the exact situation that went down when the bombing suspect was being moved in on.
Within the past 24 to 36 hours, we started getting information on one person of interest that we continued to work on and continue to develop. And as we continued to do our investigations, this person of interest ultimately moved to being a suspect. And that's what we started focusing on, was his involvement in these crimes. Late last night and early this morning, we felt very confident that this was the suspect in the bombing incidents that took place in Austin. We had surveillance teams looking for this suspect, and we ultimately located the vehicle that this suspect was known to be driving, and witnesses told us he was driving. And in fact, we found that at a hotel right up the road here in Round Rock. And the vehicle started to drive away. We began following the vehicle, again, waiting to get the tactical vehicles here so we could take this, make a stop. However, the vehicle ended up stopping in the bar ditch on the side of the road behind us. As members of the Austin Police Department SWAT team approached the vehicle, the suspect detonated a bomb inside the vehicle, knocking one of our SWAT officers back, and one of our SWAT officers fired at the suspect as well. The suspect is deceased and has significant injuries from a blast that occurred from detonating a bomb inside his vehicle. We cannot name the suspect at this time because he has not been positively identified yet by the medical examiner, and next of kin have not yet been notified. So there will be a lengthy investigation that will take place regarding the officer-involved shooting. You know, that's the one thing we don't have right now is a motive behind this. We do not understand what motivated him to do what he did, and that will also be part of the continuing investigation as we try to learn more about him and to understand why he took the actions that he did.
Okay, and hey guys, if you wouldn't mind while I'm breaking this down, if you could go to the Austin Police Department's Twitter and just roll their, usually they record their press conferences. If you could just roll that as B-roll while I'm talking, just to kind of show the press conference again there from the official APD's perspective this morning. So I just wanted to just bring up some notes here from that, especially since we have a, not just a national audience, but an international audience. So Round Rock, where they discovered the vehicle and were pursuing the vehicle, is actually, I don't know, guys, what, like 20, 30 miles north of downtown Austin, something like that, I think. And so just to, what's that about that? Yeah. So just to kind of give you a perspective, the first explosion happened actually kind of around the Round Rock area, a little more to the east. Then the next two explosions happened in southeast Austin. Then you had the explosion just outside of San Antonio, which was a package destined for Austin. They have not released any information on where it was supposed to go. Then you had the explosion in southwest Austin at a Goodwill that they're saying is not even connected to this, which doesn't make any sense. I don't know how you could say that, but that's what the official story is. Now, whether or not that's misinformation to confuse potential suspects or if they really believe that, I don't know. And I also want to be clear about something else. I know a lot of the police officers here in Austin, and I actually think they're good people for the most part. I don't know all of them, but 95 to 99% of my experiences with the Austin police have been positive. There's a few times where I wish they may have handled their duties differently, but they were never rude to me, except maybe one or two occasions. But again, nothing for me to make such a big fuss about. So when I cover this stuff and I say things that may be different from what the official narrative is from the police, I'm not saying they're covering anything up. I'm not saying they're liars. That's not what's going on here. So I just want to put that out there before we go on. Now, here's an interesting one. So they say that it was a person of interest that then became a suspect, which then led them to pursuing the vehicle, which then stopped and eventually, I guess you would assume, committed suicide essentially with this explosive device, or maybe he was trying to rig up an explosive device and throw it at the cops. I mean, who really knows what happened there, but that's what the story is. So you have to wonder, though, how did this individual become a person of interest, and then how did this individual become the eventual suspect, which led to the pursuit? Was it surveillance video from the FedEx, which a lot of us have seen? Maybe. We'll get into that in a second. Is it surveillance video from the Goodwill of the individual that dropped off the explosive device there? Well, they're saying that that was not connected, so therefore you would assume that that's not the case if that's what the official story really is, and they're not just saying that to deter any other suspects from thinking the police have any idea of what they're doing. Or was there some other witness or testimony involved that led the police to conclude that this was the suspect that they needed to pursue? Now, they have not given any reason for us to believe that that's the case. Which brings me to the FedEx photo. Now, look, again, I'm not trying to say that APD is covering this up or anything's going on. From covering this in real time, boots on the ground, it kind of gives you more of an understanding and a closer perspective to all this. But I'll just say this. The guy in that picture, the guy portrayed in the FedEx pickup video surveillance tape, does not look like the pictures of Mark Anthony Condit that we've been given. And again, I'm not trying to start some conspiracy theory here. I'm not trying to say APD's lying. I'm just telling you, this guy that walks into FedEx looks like a big guy. This guy looks like kind of a beefy fellow who fills out a shirt, where the pictures we get of Mark Anthony Condit, he looks like more of a skinny guy who doesn't fill out a shirt. Now, people have said, hey, we don't know when these pictures are coming in. Maybe he gained some weight. Yeah, sure. Maybe he did 1,000 push-ups overnight, too, and some steroids. But that guy in the FedEx video is a much larger, filled-out individual than the pictures of Mark Anthony Condit that we've been given. Now, that's my opinion. I don't know what the audience thinks. In fact, I'll even open up the phone lines. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. I'll open up the phone lines to you. I mean, what do you think?
Hey, Owen, can you hear
me? The deal is, yeah, are you live right now? Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, so I wanted to point out that the photo, one of them with the red shirt, I think, that the bomber had actually been wearing in a lot of the pictures that have been passed around, not the one that we got exclusively. But
not the family photo?
Not the family photo. But that particular photo comes from, I think, either an Instagram post, maybe, or a Facebook post where the mother herself had pointed out that that was a graduation photo when he graduated high school.
So that would have been like 6 years ago?
5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that's the photo that's surfacing.
Yes, and that's him from about 5, 6 years ago, probably.
So he could have filled out and gotten a lot bigger since then.
Yeah, that's that. I just wanted
so that would explain that. And again, I'm not trying to start any conspiracy theories here. I'm not saying APD is lying. I'm just taking it and calling it as I see it. And if maybe this guy signed these packages as Mark Anthony Condit. You know, and look, there are all type of conspiracy theories out there. You can name them for yourself. That's why I'm opening up the phone lines. I don't really have any conspiracy theories per se. I'm just reporting on what I'm seeing and how I'm feeling about the situation. And while I hope that this is the end of it, I don't know. I'm still on edge. In fact, guys, roll this clip real quick on the way to break. We'll take calls on their side. Roll clip 6 real quick. Chief Manley also wants the community to remain vigilant.
Going to release a lot of the specific details.
Or that no other packages or devices have been left through the community. So as we go through the day today, we want the community to remain vigilant, but I also want to look at where we are now in Round Rock and remind our neighboring communities, Round Rock and Cedar Park and the other cities that...
Okay, so again, that's Chief Manley again saying continue to remain vigilant. We're afraid there might be other packages out there. So you feel a little ease with this guy going down, but then again, you just have to wait and see. We'll be right back.
Give me liberty or give me death. This is the War Room. With Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Oh man, I just, whew. Man, if AC/DC doesn't get you going, maybe you need some nascent iodine. Clean that pineal gland up. All right, so you've got upcoming marches. You know, I mean, the left never stops marching. I just realized how stupid it is. Sorry, they keep marching. They don't actually get anything instituted. They just get new marches planned. So they've got another march this weekend, March for Our Lives, everybody marching against gun control. in response to an event that had nothing to do with gun control. How about FBI integrity? How about Broward County deputies or whoever it is standing down at the scene? How about the FBI letting us down in the background check? How about all the reports to the Broward County? I mean, so there were like 10 different things that should be to blame for this school shooting before guns, but nope, that's what the left does. They just play leapfrog. They leap over the real problems, and then they go to fake solutions, a political agenda from the globalist Democrats of taking all the guns. But in another walkout now, there's been an abortion walkout. One teacher, one Rockland High School teacher, didn't want to take part of this, but she was forced to by the school. Here's how that went.
Spread the word. Tonight, new developments in the Rockland School walkout controversy. CBS 13 was first to bring you this story last week, and now a student is challenging the school's administration to let him organize a walkout to protest abortion. Good evening. Thanks for joining us.
How dare he?
And I'm Adrienne Moore. CBS 13's Lamour Abrams spoke with that student and joins us now in the studio with his message. Lamour.
Adrienne and Curtis, it all started when his teacher was suspended last week after questioning if officials would support an anti-abortion walkout in the same way they encouraged the national school walkout.
Pause that real quick. So a teacher gets suspended for not taking part in an anti or in a pro-abortion walkout. Now, think about that. Again, a teacher gets suspended for not wanting to take place in a pro-abortion walkout. Now, why would a teacher get suspended for that, for having a different set of political views? Moreover, why would the school even have that walkout? There shouldn't be any school-organized walkouts. Do you see the problem now? Leftists and liberals have taken over the schools, and they've turned it into indoctrination centers. It's no longer about education. It's no longer about history. In fact, I've got the story here. University of Wisconsin campus proposes elimination of majors such as English and history. See? People think we're nuts. This is why we exist at InfoWars. We connect the dots and we tell you what's going on in real time. So why would a high school schedule a planned walkout pro-abortion? Because it's no longer an education center. It's an indoctrination center. That's what the liberals have turned it into. They don't care about English. They don't care about history. They don't care about teaching students anything. All they care about is indoctrinating them into their liberal beliefs. So now if you're a teacher and you don't want to take part in a school-organized walkout that should never happen, you get suspended if you don't want to abort your baby. Let's go back to the report.
Gillespie is taking over the debate and pushing students to put the school protest policy to the test.
Be here!
Last week, they protested gun violence.
I first started talking about it last Wednesday.
The liberal indoctrination centers. Man, I'm getting angry now.
Media to organize a pro-life walkout using the hashtag life.
It's on
and that's not allowed.
Of aborted babies, pretty much all the millions of aborted babies every year.
Brandon Gillespie says his
Brandon Gillespie, guys, let's try to get him on. Okay, so pull it down. I mean, I'm telling you, see, this is I get so mad when I see the youth of this country being indoctrinated and brainwashed. That really, really upsets me that's what the liberals have done. They've destroyed the school system and turned them into indoctrination centers where if you're a teacher or a student that's pro-life, you don't get to exist, you get suspended. That makes me sick. Wild ride it is indeed. The best of times, the worst of times. I view myself as, I'm like a commentator. I like do play-by-play of real life. That's kind of how I view myself. I'm just like a play-by-play commentator here, seeing everything as it develops and just breaking it down to you in a play-by-play format. Just like somebody that's calling a hockey game or baseball game would be doing. That's what I really do here. I just take everything I see, and then I give you the play-by-play so that you can know what's going on without necessarily having to see it all for yourself. So welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. Again, Roger Stone out today. Normally my co-host, he will be back tomorrow. He's trying to avoid any of the trouble that is coming with the nor'easter, the latest nor'easter. I think this is the fourth nor'easter to hit New England this year. I think this month even. Yeah, here you go. Fourth nor'easter this month. Heavy snow, strong winds, power outages. So Stone wanted to get out of the zone and get to a safer area. And this is what man-made global warming does. I mean, just ask Al Gore. When he said man-made global warming, what he actually meant was record cold and record snowfall. Just ask him. I mean, that's Al Gore for you, though. Wow. Just all kinds of amazing stuff. YouTube ramping up their censorship. The Austin bombing suspect blowing himself up. Police say stay vigilant in Austin. Mark Zuckerberg says, if we can't protect your data, don't use our service. So I guess he's telling everybody to quit using his service. It's just wild. You've got leftists planning pro-abortion walkouts, school-organized walkouts, and then a conservative tries to plan a pro-life walkout, and he gets banned, and that's not allowed to happen. You know, suspend him, suspend the teacher that wants to get behind that. So that's good. That's all going on. And then, oh, I haven't even gotten into this breaking news yet. I mean, you know, why not just have another breaking news story? You know, I mean, come on. So let me just hit these two headlines real quick, and then we're going to go out to your phone calls. Again, the number, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. And it seems to me this is what people want to talk about. So we'll take calls on the Austin bombing. Again, I'm not saying the police are lying. I'm not saying the police are bad guys in this. I'm just simply saying something doesn't feel right about this situation. If this guy, I mean, think about it, folks. If this guy goes into FedEx, looks like some sort of a weirdo, wearing a wig, wearing a disguise, obviously a wig, is mailing a package from Austin to Austin, that would have immediately raised a dozen red flags at the FedEx that day. Are you saying it didn't? And so how does that work? But anyway, we'll take your calls on the Austin bombing deal after I hit these headlines. I just want to comment on this because I'm not hearing anybody else talk about this. Trump and Kelly furious over leak that Trump was not to congratulate Putin. So the whole story goes, Trump congratulates Putin on his presidential victory. President Obama did the exact same thing. The media didn't say boo. But then Trump does it and the media is outraged. He's a traitor. He's colluding with Russia, yada, yada, yada. Well, then there's the news story that Trump was told, I guess, by his administration or whoever, do not congratulate. And so then it turns into this whole nother outrage that Trump congratulated Putin, even though he was ordered not to congratulate Putin, as if somebody can order the president what to do. Now, here's the funny thing that nobody is saying. And I mean, I'm not going to act like I have some sort of insider intel on this. I'm just telling you with my gut because I've seen this pattern before. There are real leaks. The White House is leaking, but you can tell the difference between a real leak and a setup leak. This, to me, is a 100% staged setup leak, a rat search. A 100% rat search. And they make this big fuss about it, and Trump and Kelly know the media will make a big fuss about it, so they use this bit of misinformation as bait that then gets leaked, and then guess what? They've just located a rat. And that's how that goes. Because, folks, the story doesn't make sense. Somebody telling Trump not to congratulate Putin? I mean, give me a break. So this is hilarious to see people freaking out about this. This is a intentional leak, my estimation, to find a rat. And the media is freaking out about it. And I'll just leave it there. Now, here's the breaking news. Fired FBI official, that's Andrew McCabe, authorized criminal probe of General Sessions. Oh. Nearly a year before Attorney General Jeff Sessions fired senior FBI official Andrew McCabe for what Sessions called a lack of candor, McCabe oversaw a federal criminal investigation into whether Sessions lacked candor when testifying before Congress about contact with Russian operatives. Oh, Now, you wonder how much of that had to do with Jeff Sessions' silence over the course of the last year, especially when it comes to the Russian collusion with the Clinton campaign and the fake dossier and the corruption at the FBI and the DOJ. So with McCabe out and then this story of the probe out, does this free Sessions? We're going to keep our finger on the pulse of that one, but I have opened up the phone lines, so let's get to the phone lines. We start with Archangel calling in from Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen, how you doing? Hey, listen, the two things I'm bringing up is I watched on the news, I'm watching you while I'm listening, I'm watching news while I listen to you on my computer, is that they're going to have a briefing, an update in Austin about the bombings in the next couple minutes. And then something not to do with it all, but very important, it was just breaking, but they only gave a five-second blurb to it on CNN, that three students of Stoneman Douglas High School were arrested for weapons.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, no, no. Not only did you have the students arrested for bringing knives to school, you had the resource officer caught taking a nap. All right. Archangel, we got to let you go. Guys, if you're going to call into the show, you cannot have the broadcast up in the background. I'm getting an echo in my ear. So I'm sorry, Archangel. Great call. Great information. But I'm getting the echo from the audio in my ear. And we can't have that. That's bad audio. But yeah, guys, pull up the story. It's like literally there's so much news. It's almost impossible to cover it all. But yeah. I don't remember if they got down to the bottom of it, if these students actually had anything to do with the March for Our Life and the walkout, or if they were ever calling for gun control or anything, but you did have students get caught, and I believe they were suspended. They brought a knife to school, and then there was the resource officer on campus, took a nap, was caught napping on the job less than a month after a mass shooting happened. What is in the water in Broward County, Florida? Huh. Unbelievable. Let's go to Alan calling in from Ohio, wants to talk Austin bombings. Alan, what are your feelings on it right now?
I think you just need to wait a few days for some more information. And hopefully the police, it won't turn into a fiasco where like a couple of recent things where the police came out and said, you can only listen to us, don't publish anything or speculate. And that hasn't happened yet, which is good. But, you know, I watched your video last night where you were reporting from it, and I could sense, you know, what you were dealing with with it being in your own town.
Well, and I was explaining that the only other time in all of the different reports from the field on the scene of all kinds of events, I mean, you know, terrorist attacks in New York, rallies, riots, everything. The only other time where I felt like I did last night approaching a scene and reporting live from a scene was in Ferguson, Missouri, during the Ferguson riots and the Mike Brown protests. And it was the same feeling where you can cut the tensity with a knife. I mean, it's like anyone there can feel the heightened, just all your senses are heightened. I mean, the hair on the back of your neck is standing up. And it's just a surreal feeling knowing that you're human. Everyone else that's human around you is feeling that same emotion. And you really can't even put words to it, honestly. One of the members of the crew here, when I was talking about the suspect for the Austin bombings going into the FedEx, wearing a wig, looking all goofy in the disguise, shipping a package from Austin to Austin, how it's like, that's strange. This is a weird character. You think there'd be a dozen red flags raised immediately. But then one of the crew members reminded me, hey, wait, Owen. Don't forget the PC culture that we live in. Don't forget about the politically correct culture that we live in, where you can, you know, chop off you're a male member and then claim you're a woman. And if anybody dares question that, you're intolerant. So you can't, you know, do anything, profile anything like that. You can't judge anyone. I mean, it's, don't look at anyone strange. If they're dressed strange, accept it. And it made me think of this scene from Masterminds where Zach Galifianakis's character, who's a bank robber, is trying to illegally move money overseas. And so he puts on this weird wig, puts on these weird reptile contacts, and then stuffs like $1 million in his sweatpants. So you can see this strange image. Here, just roll it back when he's walking through TSA. So he walks through TSA, clearly looks like some sort of weirdo, money stuffed in his pants all bulging, weird wig, weird eyes. And the TSA agent stares at him and it's like, okay, obviously this is an individual that I should probably look at that. I mean, clearly money bulging out of his pants, clearly a wig, clearly weird contacts, just strange individual. The TSA officer says, hey, whoa, this is strange. I think I need to search you. And then looks him up and down and is like, wait a second. This might be one of those gender queer two-spirit animals or some sort of weird, 190 gender deals. I don't want to discriminate now, so I better just let them go. And so, there you go. You just let the money launderer, bank robber go. And so they're saying, the crew is saying, maybe that's why this person at FedEx didn't raise a bunch of red flags, because they didn't want to feel like they were insensitive or intolerant to someone that may have been transgender or a crossdresser or whatever the case was. So that is an interesting point. So that is an interesting notion. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Romeo calling in from Florida on the Austin bombings. Romeo, what do you think?
Good evening, Owen. First of all, I heard something about gyroscopes possibly being used in some of the packaging and to make multiple explosive improvised devices and send them out like that. You think it'd be more than one person for sure. And I was just worried for you guys when I first heard, it's definitely in, your backwoods there. So,
Well, look, it's no secret that we're a target. It's no secret that threats have been made against us. In fact, I'm not even, I'm not going to get into details. I'll just say, when all this was going on, the safest I actually felt was here at the office because of the security that Alex has hired to take care of us. I mean, it's just crazy.
Sure. The Second Amendment is a hell of a thing. And, I wish you guys the best of luck and everything. But, yeah, it's just the crazy thing also is the kids in the school, right? First it was the football, now it's the kids in the school. Well, the UNs have always ran the school. The kids are just conforming, and 2 + 2 = 5 all the way up to college. And Christopher.
But see, but here's what they're doing. This is what angers me. The liberals have gotten control of the schools. The left has gotten control of the schools. So what they're doing now in their mental disorder mentality is they feel they have the moral high ground. They feel they have the mandate. So their views stay. Their views are universal. Their views are right. Anyone else's views is wrong. So they really believe in their sick, demented minds that by getting rid of American culture, getting rid of the Second Amendment, censoring free speech, censoring conservatives, censoring Trump supporters, censoring Christians, and then indoctrinating all of the youth into thinking how they think, essentially making the youth mentally mentally deranged like they are, they think they're doing a favor. They're destroying society. They're destroying young minds. They're indoctrinating these children. They are the Nazis. They are the authoritarians. And they don't even see it. They are so sick. They are so demented in the head that they don't even realize they have become the Hitlerian control freaks that are now brainwashing the youth, but they actually believe they're helping them. That's how sick this is, Romeo.
Yeah, for sure. And, like the UN running the school, they sexualize them real young. They pump them full of disinformation. And then, they can...
No. Oh, my gosh. No, Romeo, think about this. I'm so glad you brought that up. I tell you, whenever I have these realizations like this, it hits me so hard, I can't even, it's like, I don't even know how this is happening. All across America, Chicago, St. Louis, Austin, they bring cross-dressing trannies or whatever have you. Oh, I can't say that. Sorry. Cross-dressing transsexuals or, you know, drag stars, drag queens, demon drag queens, and they put these headdresses on and they make a huge big deal of themselves and how they're gender neutral or change gender or whatever it is. And they bring these kids to local, they bring these people to local libraries to teach the kids. So that's normal now. So now in America, getting a drag queen or a cross-dresser or a transsexual to dress up like a demon and read to your children at the public library, that's acceptable. Promote that. That's American culture now. But if you have a video on YouTube that teaches people about firearms, if you want to talk about God in your valedictorian speech at high school, that's not normal. Shut you up. So now, talking about God, you're not allowed to exist. Talk about guns, you're not allowed to exist. Dress up like a demon, cross-dressing transsexual, please read to my children. What the hell is going on? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I have to sit here and I have to flesh all this out live on air and realize this is all going on. And then I look like a maniac up here because I go crazy. No, I am reacting to the craziness that I'm seeing in the world. I'm sorry for yelling at you, Romeo. It's just, this is so bass-ackwards, I can't even believe I have to report on it.
Yeah, I agree, and it's sickening. And the real issue is that people really need to understand when they send their children off to these school systems, it is so demonic, like you said, and it is the opposite of learning. And I just want to say, you know, everybody just keep their heads up, and more of these things, more of these false flags are going to happen. They're not going to stop. I don't know. It's just going to continue. It's going to, until I don't know what, but they are, you know.
Well, you know what the what is. You know what the what is. They want to take all the guns. They want to remove Trump from office, and they want to bring communism to America. That's the what. But here's the thing. We cannot let them intimidate us. We have to stand up for ourselves. They want to create this environment, this fake environment where they dominate everything and then they get you to thinking you've lost. No, we're winning. We're dominating them. They are losing. That's what we have to maintain. Maintain our confidence, maintain our steadfastness, and we will continue to be victorious. These people are just gnats in our ear that won't go away.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. John Rappaport joins us from NoMoreFakeNews.com. And we can obviously talk about a wide range of topics, but John Rappaport is very, very knowledgeable on not just the opioid crisis, but in general, the drugging of America's youth and what it has done to poison their minds and to even brainwash them, basically by weakening their minds, making them mush so that they're more, easily brainwashable. So I'd like to get into John with you to start this segment, the war against the opioid crisis that President Trump has announced. Now, to me, when I heard his rhetoric at the speech, I don't remember if it was Monday or yesterday, talking about the opioid epidemic, to me, it sounded like he is really about to launch a war on Big Pharma. He talked about cutting prescriptions down 33%. He talked about killing, illegal drug dealers on the street. I mean, this is rhetoric that I've never heard from a president of the United States. When you heard that, what did you think Trump was signaling?
You know, Owen, I want to see what happens now, especially, for example, in the opioid scene, because the Department of Justice is starting to go after pharma executives, which could be a big step, especially if the prison sentences are long. When they're convicted, I mean serious jail time we could be talking about here. I want to watch this carefully, because from the point of what Trump is saying, or anybody is saying in the government at any time, until the sentences are actually pronounced and carried out, there is a great deal of stuff happening in the dark with the pharmaceutical lobby, the pharmaceutical cartel, medical interests. These are heavy, heavy hitters that we're talking about. So I like some of what Trump said. I want to see where this goes in the judicial system. But one of the things that I want to point out, and this is key about the opioid crisis, which is killing, depending on whose stats you believe, 20,000, 60,000 Americans a year. Already we're over 300,000-400,000 deaths from prescription opioid drugs such as fentanyl and so on. In 2016, a law was passed under Obama called the Ensuring Patient Access Act, and he signed it into law. And it was voted into law virtually unanimously by both houses. And this law made it way more difficult. I can't underline that enough. Way more difficult for the Drug Enforcement Administration to stop big pharma companies from sending out huge amounts of opioid pills to pharmacies and small clinics where it was obvious that this was trafficking. This had nothing to do with pain management for legitimate patients. You know, there'll be like a small pharmacy in West Virginia out in the middle of nowhere that's got an inventory of 2 million opioid pills. And you've got drug dealers basically flying in once a month to this pharmacy to pick up their pills and take them back and give them to sub-dealers who sell them on the streets. We're talking about that kind of trafficking. Well, the DEA knows and has known a lot about this. And their MO has been, after they meet a couple of times with big pharma executives, if they don't get what they want, they say, okay, the next time we're just going to march in here. We're going to stop the shipments, and we're going to prosecute you. Well, now, under that 2016 law signed by Obama, and virtually every member of Congress voted for it, the DEA is hamstrung. It is far more difficult to stop these shipments now. In some cases, I would say highly improbable, from major pharmaceutical companies who are the major drug traffickers in this whole killing field operation.
Now, does this have anything to do with, and I forget the name of it, but essentially there was, and I thought this was actually run by local or state governments, or even maybe the federal government, where they would run these campaigns. I'm sure the crew can find a story on this. I forget what it was called, but it was something about prescription pickup, and essentially whatever pills from your prescription that you didn't use that were essentially leftovers, they went door to door essentially and picked up all your excess prescription pills. And so there were a bunch of theories about what was behind that, and you know, obviously you can imagine where the mind was going. But I never saw any DEA connection to that. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about, and is there any connection there?
I haven't heard of it, but I would, here's what I would say. The amount of pills that could be picked up in an operation like that going door to door would be exceedingly minor compared to what major pharmaceutical companies could do to traffic opioids as drug traffickers. Because, you know, one of these giant companies like Purdue or whoever, they could just say, look, we get orders for huge amounts of pills in the millions. We fill the orders. We ship the pills. What else is there to know? We're the supplier. And then the DEA says, yeah, but we can show you six operations in the last year where you sent out gigantic amounts of pills to small pharmacies that couldn't possibly be using them for anything except dealing and trafficking. And you know it, and we know it. So since you won't cooperate and stop this, we're busting you as of right now. That's the right strategy, and it's been hamstrung by this 2016 law.
Now, let me. I want to get into more of the politics of this because my mind is kind of wandering here, and the crew did a great job finding it. National Prescription Take-Back Day. This year, it's on April 28th, 2018, so it's coming up. And it does turn out that this actually does involve the DEA. So the DEA is involved in this, and you can find this all on the official website there. But, John, I sit here and I think about how big pharmaceutical lobbies politicians. That's no secret. They use their billions of dollars of wealth to lobby politicians to get their political agenda through and to protect themselves in the court system. I mean, how deep does it go, though, to an extent where I take calls from military veterans or wives of military veterans that say, hey, look, my husband or I didn't respond well to the pharmaceutical painkillers or well to the psychotropic drugs that they were giving me, and I elected to instead use marijuana to deal with my PTSD or my pain or whatever it has. How much does big pharmaceutical have to do with making sure marijuana stays illegal so that someone with PTSD can't grow that plant in his backyard and sustain himself? Instead, they have to pay big pharma thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. No question about it. And your crew could also dig up articles about how in the last few years, pharmaceutical companies have been actually getting in on medical marijuana and producing it as products to be sold. So they also want to corner that market as it expands because they know it's going to be gigantic. But to your point, yes, absolutely. There's several sides to this. If I'm big pharma, exactly, I see you put it up on the screen here. Novartis blazes big pharma trail, striking deal with Canadian company to distribute medical marijuana products. There's several sides to this. On the one hand, pharmaceutical companies want to be able to produce these opioids and sell them and make billions of dollars, and they don't care who dies. On the other hand, they want to squash non-pharmaceutical marijuana in whatever
form. Yeah, it's all about dominating the market. We'll be right back with more from John Rapoport. All right, I want to stay on the subject of the opiate war that Trump has said to have launched. And then I've got some other breaking news I want to get in that is also along the lines of big pharmaceutical. But we'll get to that in a second with John Rapoport. But sticking to the comment, you know, I feel like, and I want to get your expert take on this, John Rapoport from NoMoreFakeNews.com. You know, Trump didn't take money from big pharma. He's always hit hard against big pharmaceutical drugs, specifically the opioids. And he's also taken some measurements to curb the power of lobbyists in Washington. But with all of that going on, and obviously given past experience with politicians, you want to make sure that the rubber's going to meet the road here and that this car is actually going to take off down the road and not just stall before it even gets started. But do you think right now Big Pharma is worried about this? Do you think they're concerned that they're losing lobbying power? Do you think they're concerned now more than anything, I think, that just because President Trump is speaking out about this, that now public perception about big pharmaceutical drugs might change? I mean, how do you think these big pharmaceutical companies that are shoving opioids down our throats at mass, how do you think they're feeling right now?
They look at Trump as a wild card, and they don't like that because they don't know what he's going to do. They don't know what he's going to say. They don't know who he's going to lash out at tomorrow. They don't know if he's suddenly going to say, you know, people are taking too many drugs. Suppose he just decides to tweet that out. Why are so many people taking so many drugs?
Or let's say he references your story at nomorefakenews.com where you break down the number of college students that are on antidepressants, and it's shocking.
25% either on psychotropic drugs or diagnosed with a mental disorder. Suppose that factoid suddenly wafted through the window to him and he decided to say something about it. That's what they're worried about. They're not so much worried about his appointments, although they have a few reservations here and there, but they're worried about him because he's unpredictable. Because if tomorrow he suddenly says 25% of college students in America are either taking psychiatric drugs or they've been diagnosed with a mental disorder, what the hell is going on at all these federally funded universities and colleges? We've got to look into this. What are they turning into, psych wards? That's all it would take. I think more than anything, that's what they're worried about. And of course, they're worried about the exposure of this killer opioid epidemic that they themselves are mainly the cause of. They don't want any, you know, terribly bad publicity to come out of that, but it's already coming. It's already coming. The story has floated way up to the level of the mainstream, and you can't just, you know, brush it away, and they're being blamed. They don't like that either. So they're really afraid that somebody is going to say, or many people are going to say, well, if the opioids are doing all of this, what about all the other pharmaceutical drugs that are out there? What harm are they causing?
Yeah, and look at the billions of dollars big pharmaceutical spends trying to influence politicians and elections. And as the epidemic gets worse and these drugs are finding their way into more and more houses in the United States, it becomes an at-home issue where people are like, wait a second, I have all these drugs in my house. My kids were using these drugs. I was using these drugs. Maybe I need to look into this further. And you're right. That's how they get – that's where the fear comes in, because now all of a sudden there actually is a pushback against big pharmaceutical where there hasn't even been one in the past. I mean, it's never existed.
My aunt is in a nursing home. I went to visit her, and she had 20 bottles of drugs on her night table. What the hell is that? Where did that come from? Who in his right mind prescribed all those drugs thinking that they would be good for her rather than destructive?
See, and then they make you...
All this is boiling up.
And then they make you pay for the insurance. So you're paying for the insurance, and then all that money is really just going back to Big Pharma. I mean, it's all a racket. I mean, seriously, Western medicine has become a racket for the Western medical industry that doesn't actually cure you, just addresses symptoms, and then that so everybody can just buy a bunch of drugs from big pharmaceutical companies. I mean, that's the sick thing about this. And then Obama tried to anchor it in place by putting in the government-mandated healthcare, and then we would have all been screwed. We would have all been like your dear aunt with 20 bottles of pharmaceutical drugs on their nightstand, not even knowing where we are. But John, I want to move it one step further before we let you go here. Now, have you heard this today? Male birth control pill passes a safety test. That comes from Science News. So they're about to roll this out. CNN reports, male birth control pill one step closer to reality, researchers say. So they're about to roll out male birth control now. They're going to roll it out all trendy. They're going to say, don't make your woman take a birth control. What are you, a sexist? Are you a misogynist? Be a real man. Take male birth control. And then I think about it and I look about and, you know, all these women, all these young women are getting on birth control. How is this actually happening? That's what they did. They make it trendy. Most young girls put themselves on birth control. They want to be on birth control. That's what they're going to do to the men now. And it's all part of the depopulation agenda. John, when do you think male birth control is going to be the big thing, the big trendy thing?
It's already becoming the big trendy thing. It's going to explode. Just like the female birth control pill, there's going to be endocrine disruption, hormone disruption, serious effects
Yeah. If you're okay with sexual side effects, take the male birth control.
Exactly. If you don't.
Yeah, the side effects of not being able to reproduce.
Yeah. Or we've got a pill that will make you never want to have sex again, and this is great for birth control. So take the pill.
Yeah, it's the soy boy pill.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, this is just societal destruction, inside out, upside down, every which way you want to look at it. And here we've got this guy in the White House from the point of view of the pharmaceutical industry that, you know, we can't predict what he's going to do, what he's going to say. Suppose he gets really pissed off tomorrow by something that some pharmaceutical lobbyist did. And he says, you know, you guys are all fakes. People are taking far too many drugs and they're destructive and we have to do something about it. Why are you people, millions of you out in America, submitting yourself to these drug companies that want to do nothing but give you more drugs and make you sicker? Could happen. You never know.
Well, and I that's kind of how this usually goes with Trump. But, you know, it's crazy because, you know, we've got women in the United States that basically say, I have to pay for their birth control. Like it's some sort of right that they get free birth control paid for by the taxpayers. But I can see this happening, John. This is what they're going to do. They're going to use those same feminazis. They're going to use the feminist to say, men should take birth control too. It's not just about the women. Why do women have to take the birth control? And the men will be like, dude, you wanted to take the birth control. I didn't tell you to take it. That was your voluntary decision. So that's how I think they're going to roll this out. Make the feminist guilt trip men into taking birth control. Final words from John Rapoport from NoMoreFakeNews.com.
So you'll get a situation where a woman will say, yeah, I think I'd like to have sex with you, but are you taking the male pill?
Oh, right. There it is.
That becomes the issue, right?
Well, congratulations, John. I think you just gave male birth control their first television commercial. So hopefully they'll give you a call and pay you the millions of dollars you deserve for being their marketing genius. John Rapoport.
You'll get your 30%.
I want my cut. Thank you. I got to get that cut. John Rapoport, NoMoreFakeNews.com. Thank you for your expertise today.
Thank you, Owen.
All right, there goes John Rapoport again. Check out all of his great work at NoMoreFakeNews.com. Great articles there talking about big pharmaceutical drugs. Folks, we don't get funding from big pharmaceutical drugs. We don't get those billions of dollars. Instead, we bring you natural products, organic products, ages, ancient history, proven products to help you with your health, help you get back in shape, help you get your teeth white, help you get your breath fresh. I mean, everything. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a big special going right now. 25% off the ultimate game changer, Super Male Vitality. Super Male Vitality, combining ancient wisdom and modern technology to create one powerful formula. That is Super Male Vitality, 25% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't forget, we still have $50 off the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter, a great air filter, the best air filter money can buy right now, and it's $50 off at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how you support us. That's how we grow, not with big pharma money, but from you. On the other side, I'm going to take your phone calls. I just ask that you make it quick. Mike, Mick, Trevor, Nemo, be ready. We're going to knock these out quick.
Decoding enemy transmissions
so you get the truth.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, here's the deal. Short segment here. I got four callers. Each one of you is going to get 60 seconds. What you do with your time, I leave up to you. So we go right to the phone lines here. Trevor in Wisconsin wants to talk Austin bombing suspect. Go ahead, Trevor.
Actually, it's Tyler.
All right, Tyler, go ahead.
But yeah, first I want to say that, like, I'm happy that a lot more people didn't get killed by the bombs, because that is just a terrible situation that if there was, like, a competent mastermind who was doing one of these things for a change.
Well, let's hope it's over, but yes, only two fatalities.
Yeah, some real damage could have been done here, but I'm worried about the fact that the perpetrator was obliterated and incinerated rather than apprehended, because now, like, I don't know why he did what he did. I would never try to get into the mind of a psychopath who kills people, but I will get into the mind of a psychopath at CNN, because they are going to use everything this kid ever wrote on Facebook about being right-wing or whatever. They're going to use it to blame Alex Jones for these bombings.
Well, and that'll be the next level of propaganda, and we'll see if it goes there. But good points, Trevor. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Owen. How are you today?
Mike, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. Anyway, Austin Ballmer, I got family that lives down there, and this is pretty disturbing to me. What if that gentleman that blew himself up in a vehicle isn't the person actually pulling the strings?
Yeah, it's scary to think. And again, could the guy be a patsy? I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm doing some interesting investigation on the deal myself. I'm not ready to talk about any of it. It's very preliminary right now. But yeah, that's an obvious thought that goes down people's heads. Could it just be a patsy?
Right. Anyway, I guess we'll find out if there's any more, as unfortunate as that is to say.
Well, and Austin police has said continue to remain vigilant, so...
Right, I'm just concerned because I'm planning on coming down there in April to see my son who lives down there. But I want to thank you guys for the work you're doing and the products you guys offered us. And I got to hop off of here. I got to go take care of my daughter. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, Mike. And hopefully your son is safe out here in Austin along with everybody else. And hopefully this ends. Let's go to Mick calling in from my home state of Missouri. Go ahead, Mick.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call, Owen. I wanted to talk about the walkouts. They're obviously being used to push a liberal agenda, and then whoever doesn't comply is reprimanded. So any teacher who is suspended or any student who is hurt actually succeeds in shooting them in the foot because any martyr is going to speak louder than their walkout.
Well, and you have to just understand, and they don't understand this, this exposes their bias. This exposes their indoctrination. This proves us right. This is everything we told you that was going on in the public education system for years.
Right, and I got to see a little bit of that in school. I went to a sister school that actually you did here in Missouri, and I got to see a little bit of that hypocrisy and a little bit of that agenda being pushed.
Are you talking about Mizzou, University of Missouri, Columbia?
I actually went to Missouri S&T in Rolla.
Okay. But part of the state school system, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, InfoWars products are amazing. Just so anybody knows, if you want to support, you can't go wrong on any of the products. They're all amazing.
Thank you so much for the call, Mick in Missouri. Good to hear from you again. Let's go out to Nemo now. All right, Nemo, close us out this segment. 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. Notice the caller mentioned Orwell's 1984, 2 plus 2 equals 5. And I've researched Common Core recently. And interestingly, in Common Core.
It's literally in Common Core. It is literally in Common Core. 2 plus 2 could equal 5. Yes.
Yep. Now, moving from that, you mentioned the drag queens being idolized. Well, Bowie is sort of an inspiration for that culture. And the thing of it is, those characters that Bowie portrayed were warnings. He warns that Ziggy gets killed because he puts all of his facets of identity into one facet. He's an incomplete human. And then his 1984-based album and project, Diamond Dogs, is about people who, after the fallout of 1984, have raided the supplies of the civilization, dressing themselves in fur coats and diamonds. So
well, and great point, Nemo, but just to clarify again, and I know you're not saying this differently, but the issue is that not that there are drag queens or David Bowie or anything, it's that they're forcing it on our children. That's the issue. As the authoritarian Hitlerian left tries to censor any political views or ideologies or policies or cultures or traditions that don't go along with theirs, patriots across the nation are being forced to rise up and stand against it. And now, YouTube has just announced a new policy to ban any firearms videos. Now, I do have to wonder, are all the videos of Antifa talking about guns and using firearms and training with them and ISIS using guns and training with them and showing how to use them, are those going to be taken down? I guess we'll find out. But one person we know is going to be taken down. He's a patriot. He's a conservative. He's got a YouTube channel that features firearms. So he has to go. And that is Kit Cope from SpikesTactical.com. Now, Kit has been on with us before to talk about Spikes Tactical. Now he is under a censorship from YouTube because he has videos that feature firearms. Kit, thank you so much for joining us today. tell my audience what you are enduring right now at Spike's Tactical as far as censorship is concerned.
Thanks for having me again, brother. So here's some breaking news on this front. So we got an email yesterday that said from YouTube saying that we have violated we've had multiple violations. Now, we've never gotten any kind of infraction before, but we got an email that said we've had multiple violations and this was a warning. And then 2 minutes later, we got an email saying we've suspended your account. what's interesting is I just found out the video that they censored, the video that they're saying that was our infraction, was a how to install a trigger guard, how to install this piece of safety equipment on your AR-15. We got banned. However, I would say probably within minutes of the of it getting to Drudge Report, we got a call from one of our people that said, "Hell, hey, by the way, they put your site back up," and we got an apology, kind of.
So, what is the current status of your YouTube channel?
The current status is that it is back up. The email that they sent us said that. Oh, sorry, let me correct myself. They did not send us a video. They sent the many media outlets that had reached out to them for a comment. They sent them the email. They didn't tell us, "Hey, we're putting your channel back up." They didn't tell us, "Hey, sorry about that. We made a mistake." But instead, in the email that they sent the various media outlets, they said there are so many videos on their platform that they have to go through that occasionally they suspend channels that haven't actually made an infraction, and they work to reinstate them as soon as possible. So basically what they're saying is, we have too much business. We're doing too much business. We're too successful to police this properly. And then the other point is that they suspended the channel and then looked for evidence of why to suspend it and found none and then reinstated us.
Yep, so, and that's been the case. And that has been the case with a lot of this stuff, including with us, when they censor us for a video, and then they claim that we said David Hogg was a crisis actor, never happened, and then they go review the video, and they determine that's not what happened, so then they reinstate the video and take away the strike. So that seems to be what they're doing. It's kind of a, shoot first, ask questions later type of mentality at YouTube right now. But you just hit on something key there, Kit, because YouTube is on a balancing beam right now where they're trying to balance being able to use the legal out to say, look, we have too much content. We cannot censor this content. We cannot go through all this content. So we don't have liability for what gets put out there. We're just open public forum. But they can't really say that because they are currently banning conservatives. They are reviewing conservative videos. So they're doing this balancing act where they're saying, we're a public forum, we can't be held accountable for anything put on our channel. However, if we see stuff that we consider hate speech, and it's really just if we see stuff that supports Trump, talks about guns, conservatives, Christians, God, whatever, they are banning that. So they're in this interesting balancing game right now where they're trying to say open forum to relieve themselves of any liability about what goes on their channel, but at the same time, are clearly instituting an effort. Project Veritas catches them admitting this in leaked video, efforting to remove conservatives, remove Trump supporters, remove gun advocates, remove Christians, and this has already happened. The purge has already happened. So they have this weird balancing act that they're trying to go through right now, Kit, where they don't want liability, but they want to be able to ban whoever they want. So, but you're saying right now that your YouTube channel is still up.
Well, no, I'm saying that it's back up. They took it down yesterday and put it back up.
Are your videos available?
Yep, the videos are available. And you can see on those videos, there's nothing. There's nothing even controversial, nothing aggressive. They're literally just, and it's not monetized, they're just product videos. Now, if you go on YouTube right now, because I did it, you can find videos on how to make methamphetamine, how to take steroids properly, with people just shooting up right on video, how to make improvised explosives, how to roll back your odometer. There's plenty of illegal activities.
Oh, how about some of the leading leftists out there, like Robert Reich, who does videos on YouTube talking about how radical liberals need to be protesting in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the crew is looking at this, some things you can do to make explosives. Yeah, that's all good, but you're not allowed to do a video that shows people how to properly use a firearm safely. No.
Right. Yeah. So all of these illegal activities are totally fine because, you know, we've got our First Amendment rights. However, those First Amendment rights don't include Second Amendment rights. So a constitutionally mandated right is suspended off of the platform.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you, kid. I already knew this, but I just realized it again what they're doing. The reason why they banned our David Hogg video in the moment is because they realized how powerful it was, and it destroys the narrative of basically David Hogg being the voice of reason in this situation where he's clearly not. He's a young man who doesn't have the life experience to be an expert on this. Now the reason why they went after your video talking about the trigger guard on an AR is because it defeats the narrative that they want on ARs. So people can go watch your video on how to use an AR, the truth about an AR, and the AR trigger guard safety. That's why they wanted it down, Kit. That's it. They want to erase any videos in the time span of relevance that destroys the narrative of the left. I think that's what's going on here. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely accurate. With your David Hogg video, I mean, another thing that they're doing with that is they're interrupting your momentum.
So that's exactly it. And that's the point. They want all their momentum and only their message seen. I mean, these are the most Nazi Hitlerian tactics. I mean, this is the Nazi brown shirt. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Kit Cope from SpikesTactical.com joins me. He had his YouTube channel endure some censorship before they reestablished it. Just another example of the censorship of conservative gun enthusiasts on YouTube. And, of course, they have just announced their new policy over there at YouTube in April. No longer will they support videos on their platform that deal with firearms. Kit, just final words from you. What you think about this censorship? What do you think's behind it? And, you know, give Spikes Tactical a plug here before we let you go. All right. So it appears that we've lost Kit there. So that's all right, guys. That's all right. We got other stuff we need to cover here. But again, the story is Kit Cope. He is on the phone now. Okay. So, Kit, just final comments from you. Talk about the censorship you endured. What do you think is behind it? And what do you think it means for the future with the new policy?
Well, if you look at the new policy, it's written extremely vaguely. And that is so, of course, they can you know, exact their agenda, which is the same agenda that we've seen over and over again, especially as of late. They're just gradually, and I say gradually because that's how it's been. However, if you've noticed lately, it's ramped up.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely. So I think it's just their new policy is just a way so that they could kind of bend their words and you know, make square blocks fit into round holes and you know, get rid of all the people that don't agree with their agenda.
Well, and they want you to be censored because you guys know what you're talking about. You're coherent, you're smart, and you can provide good information and instruction on how to safely and properly use firearms, which is our right as Americans. So that's why they want you shut down. Kit Cope from SpikesTactical.com. Kit, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again.
And the reason why, as soon as we heard this, we wanted to get Spikes Tactical on is because when we see people being censored, we rush to the front of the gates and say, we want to lift them up. Like, you know, these people are being censored. Listen to why. Listen to what they have to say. So it's not about competition. See, it's like last night. And I didn't want to make a big fuss. Folks, let me just tell you, when I'm out on the scene at these things, there are so many fake news cucks out there that I'd love to just lay into. But you know what? I take it more professionally than that, and I realize the scene is not the place to do that. But let me just tell you, I get so much hate from some of the quote-unquote journalists or reporters out when I'm on the scene. They hate InfoWars. They don't even think we should even be allowed to be out there. And there's this one point, you guys can try to find it in the video from last night. I didn't cue the crew on this, so it's okay if you can't find it. But I'm at the parking lot in Randall's. It's like halfway through my first video from last night. And there's a woman, I'm not going to speculate as to who I think she is because I don't want to report on stuff I don't know. But I think I know who she is. I think that you can make a fair assumption of who she is. And again, I conduct myself properly out there, okay? I've been trained for this. I've been in media for a decade now. So I know what you can and can't do, but I'm respectful of people. And I'm not in competition with people, right? Because we're all out here to find out the truth. We're all Americans. We're all in this together. So the CEO of Goodwill, Texas, is doing some interviews with other news outlets. And I didn't want to barge in. I didn't try to shove my camera down his throat and steal that from him. I politely just stayed aside and filmed it and let them do their interview. And then when he was done and had a free moment, I grabbed his attention and I tried to talk to him. So then I'm talking to him and just, you know, general conversation, filming the thing. He's not being bothered by it. He's being very outgoing with me and talking to me. He was a very nice guy. And then a woman, and again, I'm not going to get into the details or speculation about this woman. I have my speculations. I think I know who she is. Clearly resents InfoWars. Clearly doesn't want InfoWars to get the scoop. Doesn't want InfoWars to get the footage. This woman is wearing a white blouse, guys. Taller woman. And she comes over and literally grabs the CEO of Goodwill while I'm interviewing him and pulls him away from the interview with me as if he's a pet. As if he's some sort of pet. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, I could have barged in on the interview that others were doing with this gentleman, just like you just did. I could have been a rude jackass and thought that this was some sort of competition where I'm the only one allowed to speak to the CEO because I'm the real media. I'm the press, not InfoWars. What is InfoWars doing out here? I can't tell you how many times. Like, oh my gosh, it's InfoWars. Oh, that's InfoWars reporter. Who's that? Oh, it's InfoWars. Oh my God, InfoWars is here. Oh, and it's like some big deal. It's like, well, what if I was just a citizen? Am I allowed to have a First Amendment right? That's the thing. They don't even want InfoWars to have a First Amendment right, folks. They hate us. They hate the fact that I can go to the scene of an event, be there before them, and have more live viewers than them. They hate that because they have this hubris and they have this arrogance. I'm with NBC. I'm with CBS. I'm with ABC. You're with InfoWars? You don't even belong here. This is my scene. It was right after this, I think. It was either right after this or right before this. This was a very fine gentleman, InfoWars fan. His son is the manager of the Randalls there. Gave me a great interview. You guys can try to find that if you want. But this is why we want. This is why we need your support, folks. And I'm telling you, if you are as sick as the fake news as I am, it was right before that. Right before that. That's the guy. You just had it. Wherever you were right before that. That was the clip. So see if you can go back there. There was another InfoWars fan. It was right after that. Right after that. It was right around there. I think right before that, maybe. There's the woman in the white shirt. That's the guy. Here we go. So I start talking to that guy, That is the CEO of Goodwill, Texas. And you will watch. That woman in the white shirt literally comes over and steals him away from me. And I'm telling you, folks, these people are so scared of InfoWars because they have this hubris of being the establishment. And so we scare them because we're better than them. Now, here she goes. Watch this. Pulls him away. See? See that? You see that? I don't make this stuff up, folks. I'm telling you, man, we need your support. If you are sick of the fake news attacking us, and if you want to show the fake news who the boss is, go to InfoWarsStore.com and help us grow. We'll have a whole crew on the scene next time. You want to pull an interview away from me? I'll have five cameramen on the scene recording you. That's what we'll do. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and fill our coffers. 25% off Super Male Vitality. Folks, I go to these scenes by myself. Okay, I do the whole thing. It's a one-man show, and I still get more viewers than they get. They hate that. They hate our efficiency. They hate our audience. So you know what? You want to take a guest away from me because I'm one man with a camera and I'm little InfoWars? Guess what? I'll show up next time with security, five cameramen, a rig, a whole rig, and we'll see who looks like a jackass then. Sorry, it's just these people are so disrespectful to me when I'm out there. They give me no respect, and it's all because I'm from InfoWars. All right. Pile drive through some headlines. Remember those illegal immigrants that Libby Schaff let off the hook in Oakland? Guess what? Many of them just got rearrested for new crimes. So there you go, aiding and abetting criminals in California. However, now it's a battle in California for the sanctuary city as more cities are wanting to opt out. There's a GOP lawmaker, Martha McSally, sarcastically says she wants to put a wall between California and Arizona. That's because California's a third world hellhole. And there's other stories. We're going to be back with Alex Jones on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
That's right. You heard it here first. YouTube is going to ban movie trailers that have firearms or violence in it, and then ban all of the video game ads that have any type of weapons being fired or any type of firearms being used or firearms accessories being used. It's all going to be banned according to their new terms of service. YouTube bans firearms demo videos entering the gun control debate. No, entering the attack on the First Amendment. And then we've got Spikes Tactical, one of our sponsors, has been completely banned. Their hundreds of millions of views and gun reviews gone. Policies on content featuring firearms. And they spin it in an Orwellian way, saying that it's just a policy change. We change it all the time. No, it's not just a policy change. A good 10% of YouTube is firearms, firearms reviews, people shooting guns. And they say that if it can be connected to promotion to sell guns, it's banned. It's not that people are selling guns over YouTube. You're not buying guns through YouTube. Okay? They're already trying to ban advertising sporting goods stores that sell guns in major newspapers. This is putting us in an electronic gulag. This is how you kill a movement. So it attacks the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. So under this logic, you would then ban violent video games that show the improper use of firearms, and you would ban their promotion, and you would ban the watching of people play the video games, as billions of people do a month. Probably the hottest thing on YouTube, other than PewDiePie and InfoWars and Paul Watson and all the work we're doing, is people playing video games. And most of them are the shoot 'em up games, you name it, or maybe it's a goblin with an axe crushing somebody, or wars and warlocks, whatever. This is a fundamental attack on free speech. Even the military arms channel that doesn't sell firearms, but does reviews of everything in the world. Just does a review, shoots it, shows it. It's interesting. They don't sell guns. They were banned a few weeks ago. We had him on, and he believed that they were a bellwether, that they were a weather vane, that they were a test case, and now they are. Hundreds of sites were banned today. And we've got Spikes Tactical coming on tomorrow during the weekday show, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Spikes Tactical's on right now with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone in the War Room. But I told everybody, they're coming for free speech. You say, well, we'll just leave YouTube. There's all these lawsuits against the NRA. There's all these lawsuits against us. There's all these attempts to not let the NRA have bank accounts or engage in commerce. They're trying to stop Cabela's from having bank accounts and being able to have internet service for their credit cards being cleared. That's why Dick Sporting Goods was a big, you know, dick, and said, oh, we're not going to sell semi-autos anymore. This is big money, big industry coming in to tell America you can't have a Second Amendment. And by the way, you can't have a First Amendment associated with it. So, I like Bruce Willis. I know he's a listener. I like Mancow that's in the new movie. You know, Mancow's a great guy. He's in this new movie, Death Wish, a remake. You know, I really like the films with, of course, Charles Bronson. Charles Bronson's fan. The guns are properly used here. It shows people standing up against bad thugs in Chicago where guns are banned with guns. So I'm not calling for Death Wish to be banned. But I know I've been getting YouTube ads for about 2 months with Death Wish, and I looked it up. Of the ad buy, looks like about $1 million as of last week was spent by the production company that made Death Wish on YouTube. So YouTube takes close to $1 million of advertising money to run people using guns, firing guns, shooting and killing people in simulations. People go, oh, it's entertainment, leave it alone, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, video games, okay. All the mass shooters tend to be on Prozac-type drugs and into shoot-em-up games. But don't ban video games, dude. I never said that. What I said was, is every one of them in the damn profile's into it, so they're not connecting with reality. And this stuff is advertisement, and it does influence people. But you know what? People have a free speech right to do it. And if you want to waste your life playing those games, do it. But don't sit here and say it's YouTube's right to sit there and ban this whole class because it's everything else. And it gets worse. They misrepresent on NPR and CNN what we say and what we do in the pro-gun movement to shut us down. NPR has run 3 reports the last week. Got one right here. I'm going to cover it tomorrow and play the report. Saying that I'm being sued for saying nobody died in Florida at the shooting a month ago. There's no clip. There's no link. And they're saying I'm being sued to create the illusion so someone sues me. This is next level. Then they've got these folks coming around my office, everywhere else, that are after me saying, because I believe real shootings happen, I have just said that they have PR people who they pick, who are involved, to then be the spokespersons against guns from these events, and that's a fact. And they don't want me pointing out CNN's having fake town halls where the questions are handed out to them. That's fake. Just like they got caught in the WikiLeaks with the fake questions for the whole situation with the debates and Hillary and all that. They don't want that, so they misrepresent what I do. They try to ban us so we can't respond to their lies. That's the thing about censorship. They then have got all the speech and we don't. So that's what this has come down to. Now, let me show you this. Here it is. This is the Bloomberg article. This is so draconian, folks. You see, it doesn't matter if you're not physically selling the gun or you're not even the reseller. They say if you're showing a gun and we believe it's contributing to the sale of that firearm somewhere else, these are law enforcement sites, these are military, you name it, we're going to ban you. So it's selective enforcement. Now, look at this. This is out of NPR. Survivors of mass shootings face renewed trauma from conspiracy theorists. NPR. And there's this couple that goes around Texas. They've come and confronted our reporters. I'm trying to get in a fight with these people, but man, I mean, let me tell you something. They say every mass shooting's fake. There's no real shootings. Well, I don't believe that, okay? I didn't say that. And so they get arrested going to the Texas church shooting, saying that nobody was shot. And the media says, we said that. They do it in this damn report. I mean, this is criminal-level defamation, okay? And this is what they're doing everywhere. Everywhere they say, I'm being sued for saying nobody was killed in Florida or anywhere. And then it just gets into all of it right here. Yeah, right there. Alex Jones, host of InfoWars, has been the subject, and he goes on, one of the main proprietors of conspiracy theories connected to violent incidents. Now he's staring down a lawsuit. Well, the lawsuit is for talking about how they had Clinton operatives that blamed Trump for Charlottesville who were spokespersons. I didn't say they killed the lady or they staged it. Then they make it look like I'm being arrested. I was being protected from communists right there. And then it says right here, Jones is facing a lawsuit for his role in spreading conspiracy theories about mass shootings and other attacks. No. No, the lawsuit is by a man who did work for the State Department, all the rest of the stuff, and worked for and got Soros money through the congressman he works for and all this stuff, who's an anti-Trump guy blaming Trump for Charlottesville. That's what I said. But notice they don't show a clip. They don't show you, like journalists used to, where I said it. They just say it right there and connect me to this other group of people. So this is what they're doing. And it's all fraud, and it's an attack on the First Amendment by NPR that absolutely must have its federal funding of $500 million taken away every year. I mean, it is just such an evil, lying organization. And then it's trying to attack the real First Amendment and the Second Amendment. We need congressional hearings. We need NPR stripped. We need Georgetown University with taxpayer money because their law unit is public. The college supposedly private. My lawyers have never seen anything like this where they're suing me. The suit's totally fake. It's all just PR lies. But why not? Now they're saying I'm being sued for saying that nothing happened in Parkland. So it's on. They're coming for your First Amendment. They're coming for your Second Amendment. They're coming for everything. And people better understand this, that if they get us off YouTube, they'll get everybody off everything. They mean business. Now, the NRA got flooded with a lot of money, and that's good, when they tried to shut them down and everything. We need to be flooded with support. We've got great products, great everything from non-GMO seeds to air filters to water filters, whatever the best systems are, we've got them. Great supplements, a bunch of big specials, InfoWarsStore.com. And, you know, I want to expand in the face of this. I don't want to just fight these people and stay the same size. We've already gotten a bunch of their lawsuits thrown out. God, there's like 12 of them. We've had over six thrown out. But we've got to fight them and we got to persevere because this is a real authoritarian take. Because they're not just trying to steal your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, your right to self-defense. They're lying about all of us in the process. So all you armchair quarterbacks, all you big weekend warriors that sit there and play your damn video games all day and don't take my right to play my video games. I didn't take your goddamn right to play your video games. I simply said, well, you're playing those, the real world goes on. But now they're going to take your video games because that's how this is going to work for YouTube. It's just like Facebook. They create that whole fake thing about, oh my God, no one ever data mined Facebook until the Republicans did it with their little 5 million or whatever, and then billions are being data mined every day by Facebook, and now Facebook stock's down because once the left tattled on how Facebook sells everybody's data, that's like the string on the sweater. It pulls the whole thing out. 40 billion lost. It's all in panic. Zuckerberg plays the victim. You guys are idiots. You don't think a couple plays ahead. And it's the same thing with this. YouTube thinks it's just going to ban anybody showing firearms who's just a channel or really shooting guns, but you're going to virtually show everybody using the guns wrong and doing all this other shooting sideways, baby, and all this crap when it's Hollywood pushing all the violence directly linked to violence in the video games. And I'm not saying take their free speech, but you now pollute the world with your crap, and now you want to take other people in the real world out shooting firearms, shooting clubs, you name it, and all the video game heads are probably like, yeah, take their right. We're going to do it in Simulatedville. And that's what they're telling you. You can do it in Simulationville, in Ready Player One. You just can't do it in the real world to go out responsibly and learn how to use a firearm properly. Sick. Sick. So don't worry. You've opened yourself up with precedence, YouTube, to all the lawsuits. Well, you took down the guns that people were actually shooting that were properly trained, but you let everybody do all this other stuff. Why, if the images of guns and them being shot is the equivalent of crime, what are you doing with all the hundreds of millions you make every year off movie advertisements with the guns and so many of them being misused? And all the anti-gun Hollywood people. All the anti-gun Hollywood people. All the anti-gun Hollywood people that then go in these movies where they're big, all tough with guns and misuse them. At least Bruce Willis is pro-gun and, you know, has a story of a guy using gun for good. So this is not an ad for Death Wish, but I am going to go try to see it because I know they're trying to squash the film. So I'm not even attacking YouTube for taking the... Again, they're going to misrepresent. Jones wants violent movie ads and video games taken off YouTube. I didn't say that! And I'm sick of people using false goddamn straw man logic. You do it in lifetime. We're going to lose it all if you people don't get up off your asses and realize what's happening. Dude, you're cringing a bit. I'm being a little bit loud.
So, You usually don't do that, get this loud. This
I mean,
I can tell you're pissed.
This is not an attack on the Second Amendment. This is the First Amendment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying YouTube shouldn't get money for the trailers, but you can't then selectively say who can and can't sit there and show firearms.
Yeah, you can't sit here and show this over and over again and say this is okay, but... Oh, if we're going to show people how to properly clean a gun or shoot a gun or take care of a gun or use it responsibly, oh, that's going to be banned. Because then there could be some link because these guys, you know, they make money off sponsors. And because any of their sponsors...
Oh, yeah, a lot of these gun companies actually pay Hollywood to show their firearms.
Right.
Product placement.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, the left...
But it'll be okay for these guys.
Yeah, but see, they don't... But they set the precedent, other people can sue them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Just like Facebook's destroying itself going along with this whole hoax. Guys, just keep, look, you'll figure it out. Infowars.com, Newswars.com. Tomorrow's news today. We're fighting for the First Amendment. We're fighting for the Second Amendment. We're counting on you. I really appreciate you all. Please support Infowars.com. Whatever you do, spread the articles and the videos, because we've got our own platform, our own videos posted. They're trying to shut us down on YouTube, everywhere else. So it's here. This is it. 2018, the battle for the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, national sovereignty, prosperity, the battle for capitalism, the battle for it all is happening right now. Where were you in the battle for human freedom?
I'm in downtown Austin, where after weeks of terror and six bombings, Austinites were able to wake up this morning and read the news saying that the bomber was dead. Now, this is, of course, a serial bomber following multiple mass shootings in the past weeks and months, and even over the past years. There's been an epidemic of mass killings in the United States since roughly about the 60s. The first mass killing that really comes to mind in the public conscience happened actually here in Austin at the UT Tower, where a gunman climbed to the top and shot attendees at a University of Texas football game. We talk a lot about the guns used in these and whether or not they should be banned. We talk a lot about the Second Amendment and how it needs to be protected. We don't really talk about the underlying causes. The causes are not guns. The causes may be mental illness. We don't talk about the ground and what fertilizes it, allowing these shootings to take place. We don't talk about the cultural institutions that have been degraded that make people feel as though they have no identity, that allow these mentally ill individuals to slip through the cracks and shoot multiple people, sometimes hundreds like we've seen in Las Vegas. So what is it? What is it that causes these people to go so crazy? We used to have communities that would see when there's issues and they could take care of people, or they would alert authorities because it was a tight-knit community. But you see, in the 60s, national and cultural identities were eroded with movements like the Free Love Movement and other communist infiltration. The things that allowed this to happen were the degradation of national and cultural identity, the removal of traditional family structures, and even the decline of the national religion, which was effectively Christianity. So perhaps the soil that allows these things to grow is not just in national and cultural beliefs on guns and mental illness, but it's the degradation of these national and cultural institutions. Perhaps what we need to do to fix this is not look forward in new solutions, but look to the past and old ones. This is Jake Lloyd for Infowars.com.
The super globalist propaganda filth I witnessed upon enduring the recently released Justice League can't be avoided. It's a rambling commercial for leftist globalist occultist ideology. Back in my day, the Justice League stood for freedom, justice, and American values, not Hollywood-engineered anti-American propaganda.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
Justice League opens up with the aftermath of Superman's death as all hell is breaking loose upon the innocent liberal populace. The bullying Trump-supporting right-wing riffraff is picking on immigrants in the streets of Gotham. This psychotic scumbag, triggered by Muslim store owners, has a shirt that literally says MAGA Horde on it. as in Make America Great Again. And that quick subliminal sets the tone for the rest of the movie. Batman then attempts to reel Aquaman in with global warming threats, returning after darkness has covered the Earth, as it must have since Trump was elected. The main villain, Steppenwolf, representing the Unity, declares, "You will all come to love me in my righteous power." This right-wing supervillain's army feeds on fear, a perfect narrative describing Hillary Clinton's hubris-riddled fantasy of middle America.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that.
If you look at the map of the United States, there's all that red in the middle where Trump won. I win the coasts, I win, you know, Illinois and Minnesota, places like that. But what the map doesn't show you is that I won the places that represent two-thirds of America's gross domestic product. So I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward. And his whole campaign, Make America Great Again, was looking backwards. You know, you didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want to, you know, see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. Whatever your problem is, I'm going to solve it.
Batman also reminds us that his superpower is that he is rich. That quip must have given the elite UN controllers a little pep in their step. Cyborg is a walking surveillance state archive machine and is harboring a strong Black Lives Matter persona. Wonder Woman, who was considered to represent the United Nations as an ambassador until protests nixed that deal, stands upon the occultic Minerva Pallas Athena Themis Justita Lilith statue in the city of London. American philosopher Alan Bloom said of George Hegel, the creator of the master-slave dualistic dialectic. Hegel said that the owl of Minerva flies at dusk, meaning that only when a culture is over can it be understood. Hegel's moment of understanding of the West coincided with its end. The elite declared a quiet war on the United States long ago, and they're waving it in our face as legalized propaganda becomes increasingly bolder. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.com.